Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for giving back. 503-733-2970. Hear that sound? That's the sound of caffeine filling my veins. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's, the hell is it? It's rick@rickemerson.com. Let's take a look at the programming matrix for today. Aaron and Will, check. Let's see. Everything else? No. Well done, then. 503-733-2970. Why did we... Oh, that's right. We talked about spelling bees for 45 minutes. There you go. That is not the way
That's where the time went.
That's not the way to Katie Couric size ratings. Here's what we got coming up. We've got the it's the worst song you ever heard. I got two of these actually, and I'm not really sure which one to play. Did you get that entry yesterday from Nate? The it's the worst song you've ever heard entry.
No. Was it in your work email or regular?
I don't know, but he CC'd you on it. All right. Well, it's terrible. So we've got that, and we've got to.
Yes.
It's pretty awful. Yeah. It's pretty terrible. But I've got another one, which I swear to God, there used to be this whole industry of setting poems to music, and Tim is probably old enough to remember this, were these song mills. Like, if you were, and some of you may have actually done this, and I know musicians who did this for a living, actually. There used to be this whole thriving industry where if you were a person who had thoughts and deep observations and things to say, but no real talent, like if you wrote terrible, terrible, terrible poetry, and you felt like these lyrics really ought to be set to music, this is good enough to be a song. I have no skill. I can't write music. I don't know what to do. No one wants to be in a band with me. It was sort of like a vanity press for songs where you would send in lyrics to a company, and there were guys who just sat in the studio all day long, and they would do the same piece of music, same guitar riff, same whatever. Somebody would set a sheaf of terrible poetry lyrics in front of them, and they would... You know, they would just start singing it. The moon in June and my soul is a dark pit of despair. My whole life is one dark room. And they would record it into a song and they would press it onto vinyl and they'd send it back to you. It was all for like $20.
That used to be advertised in Parade magazine.
Exactly.
Next to the X-ray specs and the dog scat sticks.
It was totally a way for you to get your song recorded. Like without actually having any, you know, any demonstrable abilities. And so this is not that, but it sounds a lot like that. It's a bunch of female singers wailing against some weird ethereal background music, advertising a brand of organic honey sold by a Maharishi. And I realize that this description makes it sound really weird, but the actual end product is even weirder. So I got both of those. I'm only going to get a chance to play one. And then I've got this terrible campaign ad, which is all the worse for being real. So I think we're going to start with that, and then what else do we have? We have, we're talking more about Horns Across the Hawthorne. Here's the other thing about this Horns Across the Hawthorne thing. A, it's going to be the best thing you've ever seen. B, it's going to be fantastic. C, it's going to be fabulous. D, it's going to kick ass. And E, it will rock. F, it's going to be a great photograph. And G, it's going to be a thing. And so it's going to happen next Tuesday, 666. We're going to gather at the northwest, kind of the end of the pedestrian bridge there, fan out across the bridge. And then at 6:06, we will all extend the devil horns, take the photograph. It will instantly become legendary and famous. Then we will retire to Dante's for the 6:06 party, pentagram of prizes, so forth. Go to 970.am for all the details. So we're going to talk more about that. But we've got a lot of people, because I posted this to MySpace last night. I did that to, you know, tell everyone in your friends list about whatever. And there's a message board there, and you can see the responses. And they've got all of these guys who live somewhere else. And I don't mean like they live in Vancouver or they live in, like, Corvallis. I mean, these got guys who live in Montana, guys who live in Huntington Beach, our man Trevor in Huntington Beach. You got guys who live in Australia. We got listeners in Buffalo, in Florida. Well, you've seen the global domination map. I mean, it really is no stretch. You see, they are everywhere. Juneau, Alaska. And so we are encouraging everybody who lives in another city. I mean, if you're able to get here, then you got to get here. But if you live in another state, you live far away, we are telling everybody that they got to take a photograph of themselves wherever ye may reside, wherever you may be. You got to take a photograph of yourself in your city, giving the devil horns on a bridge, on a platform, ledge, fjord, whatever it is you have there. And then you email that to us. And we're going to create a whole gallery for this online. It's going to be horns across the world. So go to rickemerson.com. For all the details on that. So we'll go to the city desk, then we'll do these awful things, then we'll get to today's top 10. Ladies and gentlemen, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the Coin Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat Team Riley reporting our top story. It's the day Katie Couric said goodbye to NBC and packs her bags for CBS. Of course, she's a respected journalist, but her many hairstyles have come into the spotlight. She talked about the particular hair color she's using at the moment.
This does not want to play.
Oh, you're kidding. After all that work.
I'm hitting the play button, and there's a whole lot of nothing. Wait, hold on.
But if you go back to A, and then you go back to B.
Let me try this again.
If you hit the blue color one more time, and then go back, if you knock out all the reds.
Okay, I'm doing that.
Okay.
This is great. M&D. There we go.
May I have the definition, please?
Oh, that's...
Prepared or served with almonds.
For the love of... wait, no.
A-M-A-N-D-I-N.
Hey, we're going back to that really gripping hour we did earlier today.
Well, let's try the next one.
Let me try this again, all right?
No one can accuse Katie of being intimidated by change. She's really
done... Oh, God. You know what this is? I'm going to play this again. Do you know what this is?
That's Sashay Shante.
I was going to say it's that sequence in Boogie Nights where Amber's doing that film. Dirk Diggler is a man of passion, love, karate, autos. Dirk Diggler is a man of lust.
No one can accuse Katie of being intimidated by change. She's really done just about everything you can do as far as a do goes.
Do I still qualify as a brunette?
Not really, no.
Really?
No.
Well, okay. You're back and forth.
Really? Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
I remember back when Walter Cronkite did this, when they spent a lot of time talking about the tufts that burst out of the... burst right through. He had those eyebrows that like they were just coming right through your screen, just like shooting right out of the television at you. God damn. I weep for this country.
Right. Katie feels a combination of happy, sad, and completely out of control as she gets set to move to CBS.
I just want to quickly say, you know, I've been racking my brains, my small brain.
Okay.
What?
I'm hitting the...
I just want to quickly say, you know, I've been racking my brains, my small brain.
And there you go. This claims to be a 12-second soundbite. It is apparently 3 seconds.
Racking her brain.
Let's hear that one more time.
I just want to quickly say, you know, I've been racking my brains. My small brain.
Hey, wait, no, there's 7.5 seconds left. Let's listen.
I don't know what happened.
There you go. Thank you. Another quality product from Metro Networks. Okay. All right. Well, let's see if the rest of these play, Tim.
All right. Let's do it. Well, singer Mariah Carey is being recognized not for her voice, but for her stems. Gillette Venus has named the Grammy winner the first ever celebrity Legs of a Goddess woman. To celebrate, a 16-foot replica of the star's legs were unveiled at New York's Radio City Music Hall. Carey said the whole thing is very flattering.
Okay. And try some. And no, there's just nothing. No, none of these sounds work. No. Nope.
Yeah, I just want to quickly say, you know, I've been racking my brain.
Thank you, Katie.
My small brain.
I appreciate it. No. Wait, let's listen to the other 7 seconds of the soundbite. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, okay, now we're done. Thank you. Yeah, okay. No, there's no Mariah Carey sound. Do you have a story coming up about a missing parrot?
I do.
Okay, I believe we have the missing parrot sound, though.
Has anyone seen Puka? A Miami Gardens family. This is from Florida.
This is why they didn't offer us the CBS News slot, by the way. They, Ow.
Well, it should be known that most of the people who prepare these sound bites in the first place...
Are drunk.
Have been making $12.50 an hour for the past 20 years without getting a
rate. So can't afford to get drunk. Can't afford to get drunk. They have to spin around in the Metro Network's hallways until they fall down.
A Miami Gardens family is offering a $300 reward for the return of Puka, a stolen pet parrot. Jorge de la Vega said the 14-year-old yellow-winged bird is more like a family member than a pet, especially for their 10-year-old daughter, Juliana.
She's been probably with me for, like, my whole life, so she's, like, my sister, sort of.
Okay.
That could be a Katie Couric soundbite, for all we know.
Seriously, that's one of those things where you just know they're going to be rolling that CBS News van right in front of the house. A little girl's dreams fly away. And it's totally going to be the world is
Puka. We have to coin segment to listen to all the ones that you got right and you got wrong. You had actually a couple of the lines right.
In the
me pedaling away on my bicycle and
okay,
stuff.
So this is, we'll do a couple other stories. Here's what we're going to do. We'll do a couple other stories with Tim. I will play you this terrible campaign ad, which is real. Maybe part of the worst song ever. And we'll play this coin segment from last night. Now, if you have just joined us on the Rick Emerson Show, shame! Shame on you! But if you just joined us, so Sarah Dillon's car was destroyed on Sunday. We haven't really given, actually, this part of the story. So your car was hit and destroyed while you were inside. You're having hanging out, but whatever. You're just being a social butterfly.
15, 20 minutes.
But nowhere near the car, which is the really, I guess, good thing about it.
Yeah.
So you park your car, you walk inside, you're hanging out. Meanwhile, out on Hawthorne, somebody skids into the oncoming lane, wham, right into your car, totals your car, literally gets out, runs away on foot.
Then Sabalas is evacuated because they say that someone's run into the side of the building.
Yeah.
So we leave, go out, see my car shoved out of its parking spot into a pole.
Totally destroyed. Whole lot of nothing happens. And then, we are not going to identify anybody. We will in no way identify the alleged perpetrator.
They know who they are anyway.
Yes, they haven't been convicted, and I'm sure
they have said that they did it.
Really? Did they confess?
Yeah.
Did the cops tell you? So today, the cops nabbed the person who did this.
They nabbed the person.
Allegedly.
Because I have a witness.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Sherrod, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Hoist by your own petard.
No torture was involved.
No. Not that we would
there
have complained.
Could have been.
And didn't the cop tell you? The cop is like, now if you still want to press charges, because sometimes people reconsider and they don't have the heart to press charges, mm-hmm. Sarah. And Sarah Dillon has, let me tell you this, Sarah Dillon has the heart to press charges.
She has enough heart for three people.
Yeah, Sarah Dillon will press multiple charges if she can.
I didn't sleep last night because I was busy finding about everything about this person that has ever been on the internet.
And then we are going to make sure that you are hung upside down and the soles of your feet are beaten with a rubber hose until they're bloody and unwalkable.
I have literally a binder full of information about this person.
Oh, well, and so this is the great thing about it, and is that... Really, let the moral of this story be, you don't want to screw with Sarah Dillon. And here's why. Because, and again, we're not going to identify the person because it is only an allegation. There's every possibility that this person is...
We're not here to try this person in a court of law. Just in the court of public opinion.
I don't wish to sully the name of someone who has merely been accused of destroying Sarah Dillon's car and then running away like a craven coward
into
the night.
Except for the long arm of the law to do that.
I'm impressed. I'm just really happy.
I'm sure that whoever allegedly committed this crime comes from a good family. A family that would never cover for this person. A family that is not also...
never lie to the officials.
A family that's not filled with lawbreakers. A family whose name isn't a rash all over the computer system here in Portland, Oregon. In any event...
It's amazing what you can find out on the internet these days.
That was River Phoenix and sneakers. It's amazing what you can get with $50 at the county assessor's office. So here's the thing. So Sarah gets all Nancy Drew on this person's ass. Sarah, by the time I went to bed last night, which was around midnight, I checked my mail like many of you compulsively, because I'm both obsessive and type A and OCD and whatever. I checked my mail and I will not say the actual phrase, but when I checked my mail last night before going to bed, subject line from Sarah.
I think this is the blank.
I think this is the blank that hit my car. And I want you for that blank to imagine the unholiest of swear words. A word so vile that decorum prohibits mentioning it in...
When is Horns on Hawthorne?
Even the most... What?
Is it next Tuesday?
Okay, well done. Look at you with the back door. Sort of. Anyway, so I get this email last night. Sarah, like, I think this is the... that hit my car. And what do I see there? A link to the MySpace profile. Sarah, working only off the vaguest of descriptions and possibly the person's first name, finds the person's MySpace profile last night, notifies the cops. The cops then use the MySpace profile to talk to the proprietor of the place where the car was hit. And, like, by noon today, they're cuffing her and stuffing her. So, again, and we were kind of hard on the police yesterday. Not the man on the street, but the man up in the, you know, the man inside the marble building.
They talked to me all afternoon. They were really nice.
Because, of course, we're not anti-cop in the show. There's a difference between, as I say, the men out there and the man. And so we were making fun of the man yesterday. But today, the cops using the information that Sarah Dillon, she's like a one-person bloodhound gang.
She should be the next chief of police.
You really need to cut your hair. Get big hands and a
huge Adam's apple.
But Sarah Dillon using MySpace and Google finds the person. I mean, we really can't overstate how amazing this is. That Sarah Dillon herself on the internet through MySpace. You hear so much bad about MySpace in this world. Every time you turn on the television, every time you pick up a newspaper, every time you peruse a periodical, all you see is bad news about MySpace and how Marie Osmond's daughters are sluts and whores and bisexuals.
And that may all be true,
That may all be true, but in this case, MySpace worked for the power of the people.
MySpace gave me the picture I needed to identify that person.
And so Sarah Dillon went to the cops basically with the person's MySpace profile. The cops then used it to arrest a no-goodnik, a wrongdoer, a person who should not be out walking the city streets. And isn't. So there you go.
She's a regular Dixie Tracy.
It really is. It really is. So there you go. So congratulations. We're on Sarah Dillon.
I'm very happy.
We want to see this woman severely punished.
And beaten. Beaten with the Book of Justice. We want to see her beaten the hard knocks that have plagued her whole life. We want to see her beaten this compulsion to drive recklessly.
Yeah, MySpace is a godsend. If you're a criminal, do not have a MySpace account.
Well, every goddamn time you open the news, it's like teenagers charged for extortion plot that they posted in explicit detail, on MySpace, so.
You can find anything on there.
Incident of Hawthorne horror is coming to an end.
All right, there you go. Are we in the middle of a watch or something?
No, we're not doing anything particular.
All right, should we listen to this?
This is a slice of life.
Okay, let's listen to this, though. Okay. This is an actual real commercial. Now, this is from Graham. Graham, where is this at? This is Georgia? Is that where this is?
Make up a location.
No, wait. I'm trying to find out. This is, North Carolina.
Okay,
listen to this now. And I realize that, this is not local, but it is relatable because it's hilarious. I want you to listen to this now. This is from Graham. This is from the News Observer. Headline reads, contest for 13th already strident. From Rob Christensen, staff writer. Democratic U.S. Representative Brad Miller, and this will become funny in a moment.
Now, this is a Democrat.
Democratic U.S. Representative Brad Miller is a seasoned campaign veteran, but never before has he faced such intrusive questions. Quote, my wife was interviewed on 3 television stations last week about why we had not had children and what was my sexual orientation, end quote. Miller recently told delegates to the 13th District Democratic Convention at Alamance Community College. Oh, my God, G-A-W-D, blurted out a woman in the audience. Welcome to the culture wars of the 13th Congressional District in North Carolina, where Republican Vernon Robinson is trying to unseat Miller, a 2-term incumbent. In a year when Republican congressmen across the country are on the defensive, Robinson promises to turn the tables and make Miller's record and background a focus of the campaign. Quote, this is probably going to be the most issue-oriented campaign out of 435 races for Congress, Robinson said in an interview. As Robinson notes, Miller is not above of sheathing a political stiletto himself. Okay, now, but listen to this. This is real. Let me find it right here. I am going to play this right here. This is a campaign commercial that is currently airing in North Carolina. This is a campaign commercial being run by Vernon Robinson, who is trying to unseat Democrat Brad Miller. And again, what I'm about to play was not fake. It's not a parody. It's completely real. It opens, and the whole commercial is in black and white, by the way, and it's made to look like an old 50s sort of scare film. The audio will have to do for now. Is my computer up? All right, here's a political commercial being aired by Vernon Robinson in North Carolina. Oh, is it doing that thing again? Why will it play on one of the computers and yet not in here?
Not again.
Oh, for the love of God. For the love of sweet, holy Jesus. Let me
see. Technology is not on our side.
No,
today.
Technology. And she and I led up to it. I had this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me try one more thing here. Let me. Whoa, hello. Yeah. That doesn't sound correct.
The whole thing just crashed.
No, it's just complete. This, Vernon Robinson is interfering with our computer.
Oh, my head hurts after hearing that.
All right, well, we'll keep it turned down for a minute. Okay. Keep it kind of potted down. Let me try one more. If not, we'll just take a break here. And load. And All right. Just try it a little bit.
It's too hot. Way too hot.
That's not going to... Well, for the love of holy God. All right, I'll tell you what. We'll take a break here.
Yes.
We'll come back. This is just like that Dixie Chicks thing that happened on Friday. Every time we try to do something like this, there's like a 1 in 3 chance it's not going to play. We will do this. We'll come back. We've also got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. And like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. You did not hear this last aborted bit. It's not the droid you're looking for. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. Try this again. That's for blasphemy. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Coming up at 3, like us. World famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't forget, tomorrow, Jen Lane will be here. Friday, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. We are now 6 days away from Horns Across the Hawthorne. Best day of your life. Best photo taken anywhere, ever. We've got this, Rick. I wanted to let you know I will be the master of ceremonies. This is from New Mexico, by the way. I wanted to let you know I'll be the master of ceremonies of the Rick Emerson Horns Across the Gila, as an Gila monster. You have a multitude of loyal fans here in New Mexico. We wanted to show our support. I will send pictures and hope that our small show of support will be to your liking. You are all awesome. Please to give the lovely Sarah and Tim our best. Brian, Silver City, New Mexico. There you go. Through the power of the internet. Listen to that. Horns Across the Gila. Well, I guess that's a bridge or something.
I think it's a river.
Okay, there you go. So probably it is. So there you go. So people in New Mexico. So if you are somewhere else, if you live in another place, you live in another state, another time zone, come 666. You should be doing the Horns Across whatever it is in your city. You sent us the pictures. We can create a whole photo gallery. Rick, Sarah should have requested to be on her friends list before she let the cops know. Ah, burn. How about this? How do you do it, Rick? Another flawless gem of a show. Partial sound bites, 45 minutes with spelling bee talk. May I have my mug back? Yeah. All right. So we'll play. I got the sound bite here. So we'll play this, then we'll do the top 10.
I don't want to be deafened again.
No. It's fine. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the campaign commercial for Vernon Robinson, who is running for Congress in North Carolina. And again, this is all done as a 50s TV commercial. Here is his actual campaign ad.
If you're a conservative Republican, watching the news these days can make you feel as though you are in the Twilight Zone. Americans are under attack from Islamic extremists in every corner of the world. Homosexuals are mocking holy matrimony, and the lesbians and feminists are attacking everything sacred.
Yeah.
Liberal judges have completely rewritten the Constitution. You can burn the American flag and kill a million babies a year, but you can't post the Ten Commandments or say God in public.
One nation under...
7 out of every 10 black children are born out of wedlock, and Jackson and Sharpton claim the answer is racial quotas. And the aliens are here, but they didn't come in a spaceship. They came across our unguarded Mexican border by the millions.
I'm Vernon Robinson. If you send me to Congress, I'll send that back to the Twilight Zone. I approve of this message and of traditional American values.
And I'm insane.
And then it ends, I swear to God, with a shot of Leave It to Beaver. It ends with a shot of the Cleaver family driving away.
That is not cool.
They must consider him a saint down there.
Republicans are, you know, whatever one thinks, they're good for entertainment value. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's roll it. It's your top 10 for Wednesday here on the Rick Emerson Show. You roll
Five,
the theme there. I got the... Roll the
Three,
theme, I got the tunes.
Two,
okay.
One.
We'll
fire.
See if they actually play correctly.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count.
Don't you? Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley with today's top 10.
And as we discovered today, the lack of radio airplay is no guarantee of commercial failure when it comes to popular music.
The Dixie Chicks have now taken the number one slot atop the pop charts. Despite radio's best efforts to shun them, here are some other songs that couldn't be kept down by the man.
I was going to say, by the way, we noted earlier that the Dixie Chicks actually debuted at number one, despite the fact that no one is apparently playing their song.
So. These are the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. At number 10, the Sex Pistols and God Save the Queen.
And Bob, this is number 10. It's sort of an honorable mention because it wasn't ever banned in America. It was banned by the BBC. And I look for any excuse to play this song, really. It's like, where else are you going to hear it? And everybody knows the story by now. Everybody's seen the image of that BBC top 10 thing they put out every week where it was just a blank slot. It actually just was a big, blank white slot. There was no number one that week. It was like number four, number three, number two, and then blank slot. Great song. This still sounds fantastic. All right, it's Tim Riley.
Number nine, Rod Stewart. And Tonight's the Night.
Fathom banning Rod Stewart and Tonight's the Night. Ban it because it's the worst song ever recorded.
So what was the reason for banning?
This was banned. Oh, we should be given the reasons for these also. So
you're going to hit the post anytime now.
I don't even know where the post is on this hat. That kind of works.
Shut your mouth.
Show proper respect.
Why on earth would this be banned?
Well, I'll tell you, Sarah Dillon. We are talking about the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. This is America, by the way, with the show. The Sex Pistols were banned in Britain because God Save the Queen, safety pin, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they made you a moron. I can't roll my R's. But this, though, because of the phrase, I believe there's a line in here about spread your wings. And I'll come on in. Which,
like
of course,
an angel.
Yes, because it's evil, because it's dirty.
Like an angel welcoming him to heaven.
That's totally what it is. It was a more innocent, more stupid time.
Oh, I know the song.
Yeah. It's also played on the Disney Channel.
Of course, you know the song. It's
that
also
like Downtown.
It's
Train.
Also Downtown Train. They're the same goddamn song.
Wait, I don't know the song. I know Downtown Train.
Yeah, they're the same song. There really is only the one. When I see you tonight, tonight's the night on the dancing train. Yeah. Counting down the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. And by the way, I'd like to note that I'm glad that that sort of thing is over in America. I'm glad that there are no longer radio bans on songs that the people love. I'm glad that no longer do a few people at the top of the power structure decide what the people do and don't want to hear. Here's Tim Riley.
At number 8, Loretta Lynn with The Pill.
The moral here is that women shouldn't think for themselves.
You and me and I
express any independence.
I was your girl.
Free thought.
Promise to
take control of their own sexuality and life.
Show me the world.
This pill was
but
no Tylenol.
All I've seen of this old world is a bed and a doctor bill. I'm tearing down your brooder house, 'cause now I've got the pill.
Yeah! Go Loretta.
All these years I've stayed at home while you had all your fun. And every year that's gone.
Please tell me this song is about her.
Another baby's come.
It's about the birth control pill.
Yeah, being promiscuous because she's on the pill.
Well, it's all, no, it's
here on Nursery Hill.
You I love
said
Loretta.
This chicken your last time, 'cause now I've got the pill.
And it's all about how, you know,
that
she's not going to be kept at home barefoot and pregnant because she's got, you know, the birth control pill and whatever. And, of course, you can't. Those aren't proper thoughts for an American woman. Don't you go thinking for yourself.
Mini skirts, hot pants, and a few little fancy frills.
It's so cute to hear Loretta Lynn talking about mini skirts.
Hot pants.
All those years.
See?
Since I've got
I'm making up for all those years since I got the pill. It's a whole lot of. The whole song is about how the husband is out, like, sleeping with everything that moves, and she can't. So the song is about now the husband is just out catting around, as my grandmother would say. And so now she's going to go out and find herself a sweet young thang because she's got the birth control pill.
That's great.
It's the best song ever. But, of course, You know, women, it's all just a smooth plastic area down there. It's not actually supposed to be having sex ever. You know I've got the pill. Over. Talking about the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay, Tim Riley.
At number 7, it's John Denver with Rocky Mountain High.
You're seeing, you're too young to remember that. I remember a little lingering controversy about this song.
No, I just remember listening to John Denver when I was young. My mom
He's evil. You didn't know that, Sarah. You didn't realize that John Denver is an emissary of Satan.
I remember when he was on, was it Fraggle Rock or Sesame Street?
Muppet Show numerous times. He's here to turn kids on to the drugs.
This is the best song when you're driving down an open road to listen to.
Driving down the road, stoned out of your brain, injecting heroin into your veins, worshiping the Dark Lord.
Flying a plane without sufficient fuel.
Right now, that's Rocky Mountain low.
Oh, no.
Rocky Mountain, you're too low! Bada-bing. That's Rocky Mountain die. Zing. I just pulled out all my old jokes from years ago. No, because they said that it was about marijuana. Which is clearly not.
I mean, seen the story of his life on Lifetime Movie Network.
And oh, look at me, sister.
I know. He just loves the forest and the mountains.
He's breathtaking scenery.
Mm-hmm. Everybody now. Everybody loves John Denver.
Uh-huh. Rocky
Mountain High. I mean, even I know it's not about drugs. And I see drug references in all... I as a rock and roll listener, learned how to read between the lines a long time ago. You know what I mean? It's like from the first time you hear Sweet Little 16. And you realize that when she rocks to the east and rocks to the west... in Tutti Frutti, that it's not really a geography or reference. Even I know that this is just about the outdoors. A thing that I'm not interested in, but what are you going to do? We are counting down the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. Tim Riley, will you take us to the next one?
At number 6, it's George Michael and I Want Your Sex.
It's wrong. It's dirty. Man, I went to a Catholic school around the time that this came out. This is Faith, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was like in ninth grade, I think, when this came out. Man, he was just the worst thing ever. All right, let's move on.
Number 5, Van Morrison with a brown-eyed girl.
Counting down the top 10 songs that became hits. By the way, we should note again that these were songs banned on the radio in America, the land of the free. Just retarded.
Okay, you gotta say.
I guess I'm not stopping to explain. We'll work backward here. God Save the Queen, again, because of disrespect to that was in Britain. Rod Stewart, Tonight's the Night, because of the Angel Wings reference. Loretta Lynn, because, you know, she's a woman having sex.
She should be breeding.
Because she's a woman who doesn't know her place. John Denver, because, you know, the pot. Rocky Mountain High. George Michael, I Want Your Sex. That, you know, the obvious. Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl. Well, a little test. Tim Riley, do you know why this song was banned on American radio stations?
I don't remember, no.
You don't?
I don't.
Now, the key is that there are two versions of this song. And we'll wait and see which version this is, actually. I wonder if I can skip ahead in this song. Well, the Cardomatic, let me skip ahead.
I've never tried it.
No. In the meantime, I will say this. All girls everywhere love Van Morrison. Like, I don't care who it is. I don't care what girl you're going out with, where you met her, what you're going to do, what the evening's about. You go home. Let me tell you this. You want to get laid. Here's what you do. Take a girl back to your place. You make a little dinner. You uncork the red wine. You have the pasta going. Van Morrison on the stereo. You will get lucky. Van Morrison on the stereo equals laid. It's true. It is a scientific fact.
So, why was it banned?
We're gonna get there. It's a guarantee. You know, the Everclear version of this is really a lot better. Especially that part where they go, whoa, and yeah, and they stop a lot. And they do that dun-dun-dun-dun thing.
I saw Arnold Sockis the other day.
So hot, bang my way. All right, here we go. Now that I'm all on my own. I saw it just the other day. And reason number 1. You have grown. Which is an allusion to being pregnant. Cast my memory back. that My How You Have Grown was interpreted to mean that she was pregnant. Wait. And we all know that's not how the song goes.
Is it Making Love in the Green Grass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not laughing and running behind the goddamn stadium. They are having premarital teenage sex. That's the way the song is written. But of course you can... Not in Joe McCarthy's America.
Well, there you go. So the Muppets wouldn't be singing that.
No. Counting down the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. Tim Riley?
Number 4, Tom Petty with The Last DJ.
We just had that as a bumper today.
That's because it's a fantastic song.
Well, you can't turn him into a company man. You can't turn him into a whore. The boys
great song.
This song always makes me... It's really sentimental. I like it.
It's a great song. And you know what? It's great to see Tom Petty. What, you know, people say, well, look, you know, his old songs are better or whatever. They say that about the Stones, too, whether old stuff is better. You know what? This is a guy, though, who could be coasting on his laurels. He could just be going around playing free-falling everywhere he goes. He puts out a new record about every 18 months of new material. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But it's a guy, he's still got something to say. He's still putting out quality records, quality material. This song's about Jim Ladd, by the way, who used to be on KMET.
Yep. No wonder it's so depressing.
Yeah. They had killed the tribal drum.
They'd silenced the tribal drum.
Yeah, you got to read Radio Waves by Jim Ladd.
Oh, man.
Best book
be
ever written about radio. Counting on the top 5 songs that became hits despite the radio ban on their airplay.
Number 3, The Rolling Stones with Street Fighting Man.
Which is fantastic, by the way, that they ended V for Vendetta with this song. Right as it goes, and I didn't know it was coming. Right as that movie ends, V for Vendetta, and they end with the blowing up of the Parliament building or whatever, and then they go to that street, and I was like, yeah! Like, I wanted to go riot.
Did you want to go, like, break crap?
I wanted to go burn things.
Yes.
I wanted to go stick it to the man right there.
I saw it twice, and both times I left feeling like that.
Yeah. Counting down the top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay.
Number 2, The Beatles with The Ballad of John and Yoko.
By the way, we should note that the Rolling Stones' Street Fighting Man was banned, of course, because it incited violence against the man. Uprising against the government. Armed revolution, in which my brothers will stand up and overthrow the leaders. And there you go.
Number 1.
Well, I mean, this is one of those songs where you had to know that when they wrote it, such a great song. I mean, you got to give it up to the Beatles for... Even the Beatles must have had a little bit of trepidation about when they recorded it and released it. They had to know that they were going to get crap for this. All right, counting down the top 5, or rather top 10 songs that were hits despite radio bans on their airplay.
And at long last, there's number 1 from the Kingsmen with Louie Louie.
Dude, by the way, greatest rock song ever recorded. It's not Surrender by Cheap Trick. I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about this song. I won't. Just to say that here's the thing about this song. Is that when I was like... When I was like 10 years old, my dad had this on a record. This song gets played everywhere all across the country every single day, has for the last 40 years. At the age of 10, I knew what the lyrics were. I knew that the lyrics were not about sex. I knew the lyrics weren't about anything evil, anything untoward. I knew that there wasn't anything... I knew that there wasn't anything subversive about the lyrics. I don't understand how my 10-year-old ears worked better than they did back in the 60s, because, you know, there were actual FBI investigations into this. The FBI has a thick, with a dossier on Louie Louie by the Kingsmen, trying to figure out what the lyrics were. I knew what the lyrics were the second time I heard the song, and I was in, like, fourth grade. Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen. Banned on radio stations everywhere. Probably the single most famous rock song of all time, certainly from this era. And one of the greatest songs ever recorded, period. This really, the great thing about this song, as Cup Coda noted it, is that everybody hates this song. Hipsters hate it. Rock snobs hate it. Pretentious music critics hate it. The only people who love this song are the people. I mean, it's recorded badly, it's played terribly, it's written poorly, it's sung atrociously, but none of those things stop it from being a fantastic piece of rock and roll. Great song. There you go, kids. The top 10 songs that became hits despite radio bans on their airplay. They'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We did not get to It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. I'll try to do it tomorrow. I also didn't get to the, we have the new entries to the Encyclopedia of Portlandia. Also, Enemy of the People. And I'll try to do those tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow, Jen Lane, Barfly Magazine will be in the studio with us. We'll try to figure out a name for the upcoming Dungeons & Dragons game, which is going to be played between the CBS Radio Geeks and the Geeks in the City. So that is coming up as well. We are now 6 days away from Horns Across the Hawthorn coming up next Tuesday. There's more information about that at 970.am. You look for the AM 970 tent on the grassy knoll just below the Northwest Pedestrian entrance to the Hawthorne Bridge. We're going to gather there next Tuesday around 5:30. And then at 6:06 p.m. we will do the raising of the horns, followed by retiring to Dante's for libations and the pentagram of prizes. So that is all coming up. And next Tuesday, there's more information at rickemerson.com. You can also find a link to all of our MySpace pages there. And you can go to 970.am as well. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See, and I'm getting all this. It is making love in the green grass. That's the line. Not laughing and running. And the thing about that brown-eyed girl is that line about, la 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 la, my, how you have grown. It was everybody, she's underage and she's grown. She had underage sex and she's pregnant. And that was it. And they're like, therefore, can never be played again. So they sent poor Van Morrison into the studio. Like, I don't even really like that song. And it annoys me. Sent him in the studio to record the lame version about running in the green grass. A version which no one plays anymore because it's now acknowledged to be stupid. Christian says, did you actually say why Tom Petty was banned? I missed it. Well, the banning of the Tom Petty song was simply because the last DJ, which is a great song, by the way, is a song about the homogenization and consolidation of the radio industry, resulting in a series of stations that all sound the same, that have incredibly rigid and uninspiring, boring playlists in which every vestige of personality has been ripped away like a fetus from the womb. And they didn't want to play that. Clear Channel, I'm looking in your direction. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the City Desk one last time with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Oh, this comes to us from Florida.
Oh, for the love of... Oh, who will play it first? No, I don't have it.
Oh, that's okay. We don't need it.
Sarah, do you have the... Oh, there you go. Thank you. All right.
A Florida man drowned in a lake after trying to save his toy boat. Police said the 31-year-old victim was racing radio-controlled boats with friends in a park northwest of Miami when the boat stalled. So the man jumped onto the inflatable raft to retrieve the boat, but another boat punctured the raft, causing it to deflate rapidly. The man did not know how to swim. Detective Joanne Duncan said the drowning was
Joanne Duncan
and purely accidental.
That's like Joanne wasn't the only thing, Duncan. Yeah. Ah. I don't even have the card-o-matic. Oh, the card-o-matic is no longer working.
Oversized rodents have overrun the Prosser Seniors building. Marmots, whatever they are swarming through the 75-unit senior development in the eastern Washington town of Prosser. Residents of Wine Country Villa are finding oversized rodents burrowing under their homes.
In Prosser?
Mm-hmm. Fouling front porches with their droppings and, according to some unconfirmed reports, attacking people. Many species of marmots include some Oh, they're known as woodchucks, and groundhogs are found across North America. They're closely related to ground squirrels and among the largest of rodents, some reaching 30 pounds. Please remind Prosser residents it is illegal to shoot these animals. We may file a complaint with the office in Yakima.
I want to shoot a marmot.
It's in Prosser. Like anybody, like, you don't hear the sound of gunshots all the time anywhere.
I had a couple friends from Prosser in college.
It's, man, Prosser, no disrespect, Hickville, man. You don't want to go there. Just leave that town to the rodents.
That's courtesy of the Yakima Republic in the Republic of Yakima. Now, former Friends star Jennifer Aniston gave viewers an eyeful when she appeared on David Letterman wearing shorts.
I saw that. Did you see Jennifer Aniston last night? She had these hot pants. Speaking of Loretta Lynn and hot pants, and now I got the pill. She had these shorts that were cut up to, I mean, they were like, hey, they were cut up to her belly button. They were crazy.
They were revealing hot pants.
I never realized that she had, as they say, legs that go all the way down to the floor. Her legs are like 40 feet long. Mm-hmm. She looks like some kind of a stork.
Well, yeah, Brad and Angelina just had their baby. Of course she's going to put on the hot pants.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She is exactly what I was talking about with Britney Spears. I was making this up. This is a well-known dynamic where the woman with the guy who turns out to be a philanderer or otherwise scummy, they break up, and then she loses weight and becomes hot. She becomes the hot divorcee or whatever. And that's what Britney's going to do. I'm telling you right now, Britney's going to kick Kevin Federline to the curb. She's going to lose weight. She's going to look all hot again, and she's going to be the rebounding hot MILF. Jennifer Aniston's doing that right now, but without the mom part. It was really out of character for her. And you realize how wedded to the Rachel character on Friends you really are in your image of her, because I was offended or something, but I was kind of shocked that she dressed that way. And she does a nude scene in that new movie.
She does. Apparently, Aniston and Vaughn will publicly discuss their relationship, but there are two other people the former Friends star knows a lot better after shooting a nude scene in the movie.
Yeah. So there you go. I believe her buttocks are seen.
You have a very nice tush, the show's Nancy O'Dell, some of the new scene.
Who says tush?
Oh, thank
five?
You, Nancy, replied Aniston.
Who says that? All right.
Nancy O'Dell.
Okay. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, seeing as this is about horns across the Hawthorne. Seeing as how the parties are so jam-packed, I imagine the bridge being pretty damn loaded with the loyal, do you think that traffic will be delayed? We can only hope.
Well, it might be blocked if you're, laying down doing push-ups.
I'm not going to be doing any push-ups.
Yes,
exempt. You can't make me do push-ups
exempt.
On a bridge. It is understood that there are certain places.
You did them at the Lycus listener party
but
in front of, like, 3,000
people. Environment.
This might be a safety issue.
It was a controlled environment. That wasn't a club.
This was controlled.
There's gonna be people and stuff. You can't.
At Dante's, when Richard Cheese was in town, you took off your shirt and sported the I Love Richard shirt.
It's understood that you can't make me, that this is, I'm gonna be busy. I'm gonna
it
be busy pressing
understood.
The flesh and
you
talking to the people.
You will never be that busy.
I'm gonna be busy coordinating the events.
Baby kissing and
whatnot. Coordinating?
Yes, and doing, and pointing and
handshaking.
I'm gonna have that Michael Chase. Everyone raise your hand. I'm gonna be busy with the bullhorn doing the thing.
Well, then we could just do it on the bridge while we have everyone gathered.
I'm not gonna be doing push-ups on the bridge.
We'll figure out where, either the bridge or Dante's. We'll figure out which one's better.
All right.
I'll get you some rubber gloves.
Pardon me?
Some gloves so that you don't have to touch the hot dog.
Oh, so I don't have another braided?
Yeah.
Rick, what if a boat decides to go under at 6 and they need the bridge lifted?
That's the boat's problem.
It's just too much. Well, who knows?
Where would we go?
Well, the weight alone would necessitate that boat coming back later because the bridge wouldn't be able to lift with all that weight.
What if the Hawthorne Bridge can't hold the weight of
make
20 people?
Do you think about that sometimes when you're there waiting for the bridge or you're waiting for whatever and the cars are just sitting on the bridge and you're waiting to hear that as the concrete just gives way underneath you? We gotta get rid of Claire. Like is gonna be next, followed by the world famous Phil Henry Show at 7. We'll be back in 21 hours tomorrow. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, gonna be here tomorrow, as well as, we'll try to get to the Encyclopedia Portlandia tomorrow, more about horns across the Hawthorne, Enemy of the People tomorrow. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and sleuth-like Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't screw with her. She'll make your life miserable. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. We'd like to thank Jim Rupert. Oh, sorry. We'd like to thank Laura Caviezel at CNN for flawlessly booking the... damn. And so forth. Well, I guess that's the end. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 21 hours until then. Make a note of it. We'll be back. Like us next. World famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't let the bastards grind it down, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.